from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Thanks for being in the chat on Twitch today and every day. Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. And great work by Chris Pleck and Adam Abdallah. We're back tomorrow. Jesse Rogers will join us. Talk baseball. I think Courtney Cronin with the Bears update mañana as well. Time for Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go with Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. What's up, boys?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Okay.
Johnny's
okay,
back.
Okay, all good. Johnny's back.
Hey, I am back. Thank you, Johnny, fellas. Johnny, thank you for having me.
He's going to say some dumb stuff. Hey now. Johnny's back.
Hey, I'm here.
The good kid's back.
What's going on?
I'm here.
Hey.
By the way, the Bears are going to play their guys first half. Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
We were just talking about that. You know, I said, like, this is not a one-size-fits-all, right?
No.
Like, if Mahomes or Josh Allen or Justin Herbert or Tom Brady's your quarterback, yeah, you probably don't play him a first half.
No.
I don't mind the Bears playing Justin Fields
a
half.
I don't either.
Do you?
No, I like it. What did he have, 4 series of preseason football?
Yeah.
Four so far.
Yes. 3 in the first and one in the second? Yes. That's not enough.
3 points.
For a developing team.
3 points from the first team offense in the first two games.
I don't mind it.
I think it's fantastic.
If Mahomes is my quarterback, I'm probably not playing him
a
half. But Mahomes isn't our quarterback.
I don't think a single starter for the Rams has played a snap in the preseason. They're the defending champs.
Probably don't have to, right?
They're a veteran team.
Yeah, with the veteran coaching staff, even though they lost the coordinator. But, I mean, like, you know, McVay's there. They know the personnel and the terminology and the lingo and the verb. I mean, it's like, it's not as important to certain teams. So I don't want to say there's one right way and a wrong way to do it. I think it really does vary. And for a new coach and a new staff and a young quarterback who hasn't played a ton, like, okay, go play a half.
Absolutely.
More than 2 weeks before your season
opener. Listen, if you were the Jags or you're the Jets or you're one of these other teams that is rebuilding, you want to see your young guys play.
I want Tevin Jenkins out there.
Yeah.
I want the line trying to mesh together. That's the other development, and Courtney's going to join us today. I heard you say tomorrow. Does it look now like Larry Borum is your starting right tackle and Riley Reiff could be your swing guy?
Hmm.
That they have sort of...
They were swinging.
It's interesting because I thought Riley Reiff struggled last year with the Rams.
He did.
No, with
the Bengals.
The Bengals.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
He missed the,
Super Bowl playoffs, right?
Was it the whole playoffs?
I thought so.
The guy in the left tackle's got a little work to do, too.
They all got work.
Yeah, okay, you're not looking at a finished Braxton product
Jones,
over
right.
there by any stretch of the imagination. So the more they can play together, the better off they're going to be. They got a tough test in the first game against the San Francisco 49ers. You're going to get thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
This is the way it works. Find ways to win games. That's all that matters. I think getting Trey Lance in his first game as a starter is the best case scenario one could possibly have if one was going to argue for a Bears victory in that first game.
I am with you.
That said, Trey Lance, because if you get him in week 7, he might be a little bit more comfortable. He may have settled down a little bit. Yeah, the speed, he may catch up to the speed of the game. Getting him in week 1 is a little bit of a godsend.
I agree with you on that front. The rest of that 49ers roster, especially on defense, is very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
And their coordinator knows how to get the most out of his offense, or their head coach and offensive coordinator.
Right.
He'll know how to.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they may run the ball. What'd they do in the NFC title game? Whatever. Yeah. They threw it 5 times.
Eight times.
Debo's going to be running all over the field, right?
Yeah. That's the tough thing about handicapping and playing them. He's got ways to beat you.
Absolutely.
He's got lots of motion and lots of clever things that they do in their run game, and he's got Debo. And
he was forced to put Debo back there. That wasn't a thing that, like, I'm
true.
A genius. All right. Everybody's busted up. What can I do now? My best option is here. Necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right.
Necessity may be the theme of the day as well with their quarterback, who may take a while to get used to playing. So,
and the other great thing is this came at home.
Yeah,
the Bears opened up. They planted a substandard field. can only be an advantage to the Chicago Bears. Advantage Bears on a substandard field.
Like what do we got? Ramstein this week?
Ramstein,
that's and then it's time to resign that thing.
Then we put the Bermuda down? We putting the Bermuda down afterwards?
Yeah, you know we're using Bermuda. I told you that, right?
And they're using...
They're getting away from the Kentucky.
And they're using Bermuda, and they're using a grass with more sand and less clay.
That's a mistake.
Why?
They should go with a hardier grass like Kikuyu.
There's no such thing.
There is such a thing as Kikuyu.
Yurko, my grass guy, told me this is a version of a hardier...
you have a grass guy?
Yeah, I have got a Soldier Field grass guy.
Oh.
My Soldier Field grass guy told
me... Tim LaFever?
This is a hardier Bermuda.
A hardier Bermuda.
It goes dormant in the winter.
That more of the northern stadiums are moving to
Bermuda
this.
Bermuda
and this
goes
is a
dormant.
Bears, this is a Bears request, as an FYI. Remember, the Bears were the ones who didn't want field turf. Right.
So you think the Bears have done the research and they've suggested, why don't we use a hardier Bermuda? Yeah,
I know that to be the case.
Yes. Really?
Not I don't think.
Wow.
I know that to be the case.
Okay.
They will be resodding the field with a hardier Bermuda, and they're getting away from the Kentucky bluegrass.
But Yurko said the Bermuda goes dormant in the winter? No,
yeah, Bermuda goes dormant in the winter.
Well, how can
you
got to
overseed what, Ryan?
No, you just you 100%. Paint it.
Green.
Just paint it. That's what they did back in the day.
Are you ready? Penicetum?
What?
Clandestinum.
No, that's the Latin
term for Kikuyu grass.
It may be penicetum.
No, it's
clandestine.
Not.
This well-known African grass increased in popularity, originally being used for golfing terrains.
Kikuyu.
I just watched the Manti Te'o story.
Oh, you did?
Kikuyu.
This
has
been imported from the Belgian Congo, all right? This is the grass that you need for Soldier Field.
My guess is they're not going to get the...
Look at how hardy that grass is right there.
Yeah, the Belgian
hardy grass.
I don't think they're going to foot the bill for a gigantic field worth of Belgian Congo grass.
But I'm not a liar, Tommy. You call me a liar.
No, I don't think so.
Like, nobody cares about the Kikuyu.
You were blaming Lake Geneva grass on the Kikuyu grass.
They don't have Kikuyu up there.
They do. You'd be shocked. They imported from the Belgian Congo. It says right here.
I don't think so.
It says so right here. Harm, you guys all call me a liar. And then I give you facts.
That's where it's from. What he's telling you is that they didn't bring it in.
I think they have.
The Grand Geneva did not bring it in.
I think they have.
So you're watching the Manti Te'o thing? Is it good?
I finished. It's only two episodes.
So it's only two.
I thought it was very good.
Right,
we
I'll
lived through it. We reported on this. I feel like the end of it I thought was spectacular. I thought it was the most honest and straightforward and him explaining what it did to his psyche.
Wow.
And all right, I'll watch it.
And
especially if it's only two episodes.
The first episode a little slow moving. I thought you got to know Manti more than you ever have. Like during these interviews, and he explains how like all the people around him wanted him to do it this way and that way and this way, and he his head was spinning.
Poor kid.
By the way, did you see 13 Lives?
I watched 13 Lives. Excellent.
It's unbelievable,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's excellent.
The story. I don't know if you're claustrophobic at all.
I couldn't imagine.
Like it was 2 hours and 25 minutes of a full panic attack.
Like, yeah, it is. And they do a good job of capturing that.
Yeah.
Like navigating these little tunnels while you're underwater.
Merkin was telling me that Viggo Mortensen, who is one of...
It's not Viggo. It's Viggo.
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo.
Whatever his name is.
You called him Viggo.
What did I call him?
You called him Viggo.
Viggo. Merck said that he trained with one of the divers.
I bet.
And they said he did all of that on his own. Like they were shocked by what he put himself.
He's one of these method actors, you know.
Yeah, he's good. Eastern Promises.
It was unbelievable. From finding the kids to bringing them back, it was in some instances 5 to 7 hours.
5 hours.
5 hours.
It is an incredible story. It really was.
This is from 18, right? It's
2018.
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago.
Underwater for 5 hours from where they find them to take them back to safety.
It's pretty outrageous. I'm still catching up on Better Call Saul, too. Like, I'm way behind.
Where are you in the first half of the last season?
So we just watched the end of where they broke up the seasons. So you know what I'm talking about.
It really is one of the best cliffhangers. It wasn't really a cliffhanger. It was the way they ended it was spectacular.
I've said it since he made his first appearance, whenever that was, whichever season.
Lalo?
Lalo is the best character on television. Yeah. There needs to be more of him. There were like a couple episodes, like episodes 4 and 5. I'm like, what's going on? Lalo's barely in this. I was getting annoyed. I'm like, come on. Lalo is the show at this point.
I'm not going to try and discourage you from I think the next batch of them, not nearly as good as the first batch of season.
Why would you tell him that? Let him experience it on his own.
You're still going to watch it.
He's still going to go in with a bias now.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
I mean, the way it ends, and he's like, let's talk. Yeah. I mean, he is unfreaking believable how good that character is. Lalo Salamanca, something else.
They did stuff, too. I think I told you, Mike and Lalo, the actors, did an interview together where they were talking to each other as actors, but thinking what their characters, how they would take it. Oh, and it was like a 2-minute thing on Netflix. It was really good.
So
I have not. I know the character Mike has had a lot of roles in different stuff.
He's great.
But Lalo, I'm not sure. What else was he
in? I don't know. He's awesome, though. Yeah. I'll tell you that. That character is awesome.
Kirk is like, that character is...
It's amazing.
Unbelievable. His character is unbelievable. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
For a show after that first season of Breaking Bad, they were like, you know what it's turned into is just amazing. All right, White Sox yesterday. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be positive.
I am.
You said the first 5 minutes, and then it went all downhill.
Listen.
It went negative.
I'm not letting him bring me down anymore.
It sounded like you were pretty down at 12-15.
A little 4-game win streak coming up is going to reel you back in.
No.
Then Tony's going to do something again that's going to have you pissed off.
Carl, this has been our mantra now for the better part of a year. This is who they are. They've been a 500 team.
What, did you hear the number?
Yeah, I heard you. 500 teams since the All-Star break of last year.
I'll give you guys something.
That's more than a full season.
So over the last 199 games, including the postseason last year, the White Sox have a 513 winning percentage, 51.3%. By the way, the last year under Ricky Renteria, they had a 618 winning percentage.
They had a good first half, a great first half last year. And then since then, they've just been on autopilot 500.
They've been an average team.
513 winning percentage over their last 199 games. What does that tell you? Nothing but wonderfully mediocre.
Well, I said this to Meller, and we could get into the zoom in stuff coming up. But I said, if I'm a Sox fan now, and like you've already had most of your baseball season ruined. Mm. And you're detaching yourself where you're like, you're not going to let them bring you down anymore.
I'll watch. I'm not like totally detaching that way, but I'm not going to keep losing. I'm not going to let the Yanks and the agita. They don't deserve it.
So my point is,
no agita.
You better start making your voice heard.
That
the ownership and front office cannot let this happen next year.
Yeah, they're not going to.
You've already ruined 1 year.
Right.
Like, they need to, I don't know how big of a remake they need to do with the team. I'm not saying they need to get rid of everybody, but they need to make this team up a little differently, and they got to make sure that this coaching staff is, Ethan Katz can stay. The rest of them, including the trainers, have to go.
Well, they just changed the trainers.
It doesn't matter. Just because you're new at the job doesn't mean you're good at the job.
Okay. True.
This is where the blame lay is, right? 5% ownership, 5% Tony La Russa, right? And when I say ownership, I mean Rick Hahn and his people.
That's it. 5%. More than 5%.
Me too.
No, 5% Tony La Russa.
20% ownership.
90% on the players.
I don't know, Yurk.
Yurk, if the players are faulty.
They're rotten.
I got it.
You got two guys that swung the bat and are crippled now.
I got it.
Two guys that are crippled that can't play no more.
But when the architect of the team has a bunch right-handed hitting DHs, then the larger portion of the blame has to go with the architecture.
I've got 25 players on this team. I expect them to go out and perform.
Yeah, but you're asking, not just offensively either. You've got at least 3 players playing corner outfield spots for you
that are
should not be playing the outfield in the big league.
That's fine. You got three,
and you don't have one. You've got 3.
Yep.
There's more redundancy on that team than maybe any other team in all of Major League Baseball.
How many players are historically below and having the worst years of their existence? I'm talking about everything. Games played. talking about all statistical looks at it. Look at these guys from their historic numbers, what the mean is. How many guys are underperforming their mean? Okay? That's what you've got to look at.
I'm telling you, if it's not
22 of 25 players perform. What do you mean?
How do you look at it?
Like, no,
you look at their averages over the course of a lifetime.
I'm asking.
And then you see whether they're above or below that line.
Abreu has 14 home runs. That's well below normal. He's had a great year.
He's had a very good year.
Aloy has now he's not played a lot, but a batting average wise, on base percentage wise,
it's all up.
I'm asking you. When you look at Aloy, when you look at Abreu, Vaughn has had a very good year.
RBIs and runs scored.
You can't really look at RBIs. I mean, I wouldn't look at that. He hasn't played enough.
Vaughn leads them in RBIs.
Vaughn had a good year.
So he said 22 of 25. I just named three players who are not having below average years.
Yeah. Look, this is why it's been so frustrating. It's not all one thing.
You're making me work now, which is what you shouldn't have done.
Damn shame that you got to work.
You should not have done that.
We woke you up out of your little vacation coma.
Now what I'm
going
to do is going to pound Sylvie. No, into the ground.
You're not going to pound me.
You're taking Sylvie to Pound Town.
Sylvie's coming to Pound Town. Keep your clothes on this time.
I want to leave Pound Town.
And here's the funny thing is I think we would all agree that the players are the majority, deserve the majority of the blame. I'm disputing how you've divvied it up. Like
I understand.
Like, you know, like a player that I put a lot of blame on.
Give me some options here, guys.
Moncada. Yaz, I would say, because he is grossly underperforming.
Right?
Grossly. I mean, he's been terrible. So I would say, like, to your point, Yurko, there are a few of those guys, and those are probably the two. Yoan Moncada and Yasmani Grandal have great, and they're lefties while they're switch hitters, but they're going to bat lefty more often than they're going to bat righty, obviously. And you're relying on them for a lot from that side of the plate, and they have not delivered it. But Sylvie's right.
Harrison is Josh Harrison. Yeah, that's who he is.
Same with AJ Pollock.
These are their big moves they made in the offseason.
That's why I say team construction is
a problem.
It's a problem.
Yes.
Players, again, I'm with you.
Give me percentages, guys.
Oh, I say 25% of the problem is the construction of the roster.
So that's Rick Hahn.
10% manager.
10% of the manager.
And then the rest is the players.
So that's 65% is on the players.
Yeah.
25% Rick Hahn.
Yes.
10% on the guy that's asleep.
Yes.
Rip Van La Russa.
Yes. Can I ask you guys this? How do you explain? I have never been one of these fire Greg Walker guys, fire Chili Davis
Menichino.
Guys.
I just got a text. Fire Menichino.
Frank Menichino.
We've gotten those.
How do you explain that every one of their power guys has hit for par power, and they lead the league in singles.
Don't know.
Is that the approach?
I don't know. It's hard to answer. I mean,
like, the only guy that I see that consistently tries to go the other way all the time is Tim Anderson. Like, I don't see that.
He's been going the other way lately.
He has, but he's taken what guys are giving him, so which is what you want them to do.
I think Abreu's pretty good at it too. Abreu can hit it anywhere. He hasn't hit for a lot of power. I don't know why
none of them can hit the ball out of the park.
I've got a stat for you.
Go ahead.
I think you're going to enjoy this.
I might not.
This one comes from Jeremy Frank at MLB Random Stats. 705 of the White Sox first 1,000 hits this year were singles.
Yes.
Most recent teams to finish the season with at least 70% of their hits being singles. 2018 Marlins, 2016 Marlins, 2015 Marlins, 63 wins, 79 wins, 71 wins. 2015 Braves, 67 wins.
Right.
So this is what your team is doing. Well,
but they're not built that way. They're built to hit the ball out of the park.
So whose fault is that? Are all the players simultaneously having
become single hitters overnight?
They all turned into Nick Madrigal.
Yes.
They're all Nick Madrigal hitters now. So is that on the approach? I'm not a hitting coach guy, but I love Greg Walker, but when they all don't hit home runs.
But I don't think Jose Abreu is going into the cage and asking for Frank Manichino's advice. I think Jose Abreu has had tremendous success in this league. I don't think he's tinkering with his swing based on
a launch angle thing that they've gotten away from?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Why would Jose Abreu get away from what has made him one of the best bats in the American League?
I don't think he would.
I don't either.
You're right. I don't have a good answer for that, Sylvie.
Three games on this road trip they haven't homered.
I know.
All three games.
Well, you saw the stat. Since August 10th, Pujols has more home runs than the entire White Sox team.
It's incredible.
He's got more home runs over the last 2 weeks than the entire team.
I don't know what happened to him since the All-Star break.
I tell you what, his numbers have been good. Like, he mostly only plays against lefties.
But it was the only run of the game last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a home run by Pujols.
It was a good game, too.
Well, you know, the Cubs have a better record than the Yankees since July 10th.
I know. They've been a little above 500.
Did you know that? You're going to be pressing the White Sox.
Waddle's been making fun of me. They're not that bad right now. They found some pitching.
Yeah.
You know,
they're playing free and easy and they're playing good baseball.
You're right.
And there's no pressure. They don't care. Yeah. They know they're losers.
Like Morrell. Morrell's a fun player. Yeah. He's a spark plug. Mm-hmm. You know what? Nico Horner.
I remember when Baez was a spark plug and a fun player.
He's got some young Baez in him.
And a year or two later, they turned into bumps. Yeah. Swinging at 58-foot pitches.
Right.
I remember that.
What's up on the show today, boys?
So
stuff.
Whatever is on your mind. If you want to weigh in on the Sox conversation, and I want to get into, I believe they failed one of their most important pitchers yesterday.
Yeah.
I believe what they did to him was really bad.
Especially after the first pitch.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
It was very Sox-like. 2022 White Sox.
If you want to weigh in on the White Sox, you want to talk Bears, they're going to play. I want to bring up, I think Ryan Poles handled the Roquan Smith thing as well as any general manager could. I got to give them credit for the way they've handled Roquan. He's going to play this weekend.
I was going to say, he had all the leverage. Well,
but there and are times Ryan Pace had a lot of cards, but he decided to go all in.
Yeah, with like a pair of jacks.
Right, right.
All in.
I want
He had less than a pair of jacks going all in. He had like 8-3 going all in.
He had A7 offsuit and he's going all in.
Yeah. 9-2 offsuit.
So, I mean, it's not a for sure thing. I think they're off to a pretty good start.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll talk about it. Courtney today, Barstool Big Cat. We've got the good, the bad, the dirty, and White Sox baseball at 5:30 today.
All right, Waddle and Sylvie are next. White Sox baseball at 5:30. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Said that.
Oh, it is time for you to do what you need to do to stream live sports and original content. And that means you need ESPN Plus, and you need it today. You can access all the award-winning 30 for 30 library. You have unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events each year. Go ahead, get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today and watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. All you have to do is go to ESPNChicagoBundle.com to learn more.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
It was very clear there was an injury issue pregame. So if you say Michael Kopech is hurt, you can take him out right now. If you're going to do that, and not have to deal with Jimmy Lambert get up and loosening, unless they're just trying to let him work it through. So now Tony's going to come out with James Crock.
I think he's going to make a change right here, and that will mean that Jimmy Lambert will have as long as he wants to warm up. It's a very frustrated Michael Kopech, as you would assume, because when that knee has been entirely healthy, his velocity has been up, especially on his hard slider, which has gotten more difficult to hit. And we'll have to see if Tony is indeed going to make a change. Sometimes you try to protect guys from themselves, and that's the case with Michael Kopech. I'm sure he doesn't want to leave this one, but when you looked at the stuff, it just wasn't his normal stuff.
Thought they even took him out late. Four batters in.
Felt like his first fastball that registered 88 on the gun was evidence enough.
It was a good indicator, right?
Like, and he threw what, like an 81 mile an hour sinker or
a slider,
splitter,
I think.
Slider,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It
they
was.
Were talking
whatever
about the slider at a low speed. I was texting you guys in real time. It wasn't a second guess. I'm like, we're playing with fire here with Kopech. Yeah. Let's go through the checklist, okay? Has Kopech been dealing with a leg injury, knee injury the whole year?
Check.
Yes. Is Kopech past the point of the most innings he's ever thrown in his professional career?
Check.
Did Kopech motion during warmups that he was not right?
Check.
What more do you need? I don't understand. Like, let's live for another day. Let's not put this kid in harm's way. And even though he's telling us, and I'm not saying this is all on Tony, too. I don't know how, and it's part of the issue I have with the entire White Sox operation, is no one knows who's in charge. I don't know who's in charge in the front office, whether it's Kenny, whether it's Jerry, whether it's Rick Hahn. So was this the call that the trainer was making? Is this the call that Ethan Katz was making? Is this the call that Tony La Russa was making? Tony's got the most power. You have protected your guys all year by saying don't run because you're feeling sore. When Stoney was saying during that, when you are dealing with a leg issue, and then you start, and has he had arm issues in his history? There's yes. another thing. Yes. So now when your legs are compromised, you all of a sudden start throwing differently, and you could put your arm into harm's way. And I don't know. I know why. The reason why was they've got a lot of games to play, and they didn't want to have to go to the bullpen without retiring a batter. But what they did it at the expense of one of their more important young assets, not just in the short term. I told the guys in the pre-show fistfight, Michael Kopech has a sub-200 batting average against. This, to me, in my world, has been a successful year for Michael Kopech starting his first year starting. 2020, he missed. He opted out. The year before that, he was coming back from Tommy John surgery. So 19, he's out. He opts out in 2020. He's in the bullpen for 2021. And then this is the first year that he started as a starter. Now he's had leg injuries. He's over any innings mark that he's ever pitched in the majors. You have got to be careful with Michael Kopech. And even though he motioned to them, guys, I'm not right. I'm starting to stretch my hammy, my leg area. Well, just go and pitch. See if you can work through it. I thought that was very, very dangerous. And if anything, the Sox paid for it by giving up the runs and not retiring a batter. And hopefully, Kopech will be available to pitch coming up.
This is what you got from him. When they decided to let him go. First pitch, 88-mile-an-hour fastball. Second pitch, 81-mile-an-hour slider. And then went 90-mile-an-hour fastball, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, 92, 92. And it looked like every pitch he threw, he was uncomfortable. I don't believe it ever. It said 93, 193-mile-an-hour fastball he threw. And when he gets warmed up, he can pump the gun at 97.
Mm-hmm.
I think you err on the side of caution with this young man. At the end of the day, they emptied their bullpen quite a bit, like they had.
And they did a really, like, I got to say, the bullpen did a great job until Joe Kelly.
Yeah, until Joe Kelly took them.
Until Joe Kelly. Yeah. I was thinking, I mean, I wasn't thinking this in real time, but were they better off maybe going to Liam Hendricks in the eighth to keep them in the game? Like, you avoid pitching. You pitch everyone except one of your best bullpen arms.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And Joe Kelly's been garbage, but it wasn't like you had a lead or anything. It would have been unconventional. But then you just finally tie the game.
Yeah, I mean, Lambert,
and then Joe Kelly screws it all up.
Lambert, who has been really good. There was one bad outing I think he had against the Royals a while ago. That was the only blemish on his record for like 6 weeks. And when he came in for Kopech, and it's a tough spot for him to come in on. I believe he went single, walk, single.
Right, but none of those runs were charged to him.
I know, but yes.
He wasn't great. It's a, right, but I mean,
whoever, that may be true. Those runs are given to Kopech, but he didn't get an out the first three batters.
No.
So, I mean, my point was Lambert was.
Maybe if you would have gone to him to begin with.
Yes. Maybe so. But, like, that's the only bobble you had until Kelly.
Yeah, like, that's
Vince Velasquez was good.
Bases loaded, 1-0, with nobody out in the entire game.
Not ideal.
Is the worst way to come into a baseball game.
Pretty much.
And Velasquez pitched great. Like, he had been. Wasn't the last time he pitched against Houston in the 21 spot game?
Yeah.
He was awful in that game. And they even saved him with a home run saving catch. He was great yesterday.
Yesterday was kind of it was one of those games that was symbolic of the entire season. It really was. I think Carm gave the stat. I don't think the Royals in the last seven games had scored four runs or more. They scored four in the first inning. And then you have the issue like you had with Kopech, and
we're on like an every 3-day basis now where something weird is happening that Tony La Russa is right in the spotlight on. Again, trainers are there, the pitching coach is there, and I know Kopech says what he says. You're the manager, and you've got to know all these things. He's been nursing a leg injury. His velocity is down. He has pitched more innings than ever. We can't risk an arm injury here because he's now trying to rev up his arm more because it's compensating for the leg. It's something Stoney hit on. Why are Benetti and Stone more on top of things than the manager consistently? And listen to Ozzie in the postgame show. If you don't want to take it from Sylvie, listen to the guy who's really won your only World Series in modern history, who's in your broadcast booth on NBC Sports Chicago.
I learned, since I was a player, from Ozzie Virgil. When you manage ever, I was like, 22 years old. When you ever manage it, not let any pitcher convince you to stay in the game. Because they're not going to come out. And I bet you, Cooper say, hey, I'm fine. All the song, they start getting worse and worse, and they got to put him out.
I would say, I mean, listen, Ozzie's been there and done that. I think it's even different when Lance Lynn tries to petition to stay in. But Kopech, for all the reasons you mentioned, is just, it's a different category. It's a different situation. Like, no, I think that they would have been a prudent decision for them not to even let him go. So he started to show.
And how many leg injury days in a row have the White Sox had? Aloy hurts himself swinging. Kopech hurts himself in the warm-ups.
Grandal.
Grandal's out now. I think that's a blessing. But it's still another more leg injuries. Lance Lynn had a leg injury. How many times did they try to start Aloy in the minors? Aloy gets hurt, and they start him. Like, there's something really wrong here with the entire organization that you have got to get. I don't care that they're new. Like, everyone has to switch. If you're a Sox fan, this has been one of the most miserable baseball seasons anyone can remember. And you cannot let this repeat itself next year. You can't have a team that doesn't hit home runs. You can't have a team that doesn't hustle. You can't have a team that's consistently getting hurt, swinging a bat or warming up or running to first. This is, it's ridiculous. And you have to do a scrub from top to bottom of this entire organization. Like, Carmen's reaction is, when I said, you've got to get rid of the coaching staff, you've got to get rid of the manager, you've got to do things differently with the trainers. Well, this is the first year for the trainers. They did that last year. Has it worked?
Has not worked this year. In fact, I haven't added them up, but you could argue there's more injuries this year than last year, aren't there?
It's got to be.
By the way, you found out an interesting note about their hitting coach.
And I'm the last guy to start.
Get rid of the hitting coach.
Chili Davis.
We're not that show.
I lived through it with the Cubs, where every year they thought they could correct problems with their own hitting because of the guy who's in charge.
Right.
The hitting coach. But Nicholas tweets, look who the hitting coach was for those Marlins teams who led the league with singles or who had 70% of their time with singles. There's another guy, Scott Deedy, says, look at the stats of teams Menichino has coached. Was reported that he told them last year not to worry about the home run.
Well, this is not a station to station. They go station to station, but they're not playing bingo. There's not enough speed on this team for them to score bunches of runs hitting singles. Because no one can run. It's why your bags are juiced with guys. Three singles, you got man on first, second, and third.
They had an inning yesterday, I want to say, with five singles, right? And they scored one or two times?
Yeah. Yes. No, and that's why in this day and age, in modern baseball, you can't truly expect to have any real success without some power. And the fact that the White Sox are 62-60 with as little power that they have on their roster is actually impressive. Because when you look at, like, everything that happened with Kopech yesterday and then the issues with the bullpen, it still was a very winnable game if this offense provides any type of power.
Such a good point, Jeff, because this team is built in a way that they're not going to be perfect defensively. They're going to make some mistakes in other areas, but they're built to overcome some of that stuff by just being able to mash the baseball.
I'll slug you.
Yes.
And right. That's the, you know, you look at the, if you just look at the result, the schedules, they're never, ever really putting up big numbers. Every game they're winning is by one or two runs.
Yeah.
And that then the emphasis is the bullpen goes under the microscope. And you're more prone to making mistakes. Or at least your bullpen under that type of pressure is every bullpen is going to give. You're not going to win every one or two run game. But then if you have a few games where you're winning five, six, seven runs, you can go ahead and throw your lesser arms in those games and get by.
Well, think also about how, I mean, it's being able to hit the ball over the fence is a deodorant for all of the other stuff. So if you are not running the bases pure, or you're not fielding the ball as well as other teams, but you're mashing, like you're winning games 6-4. Okay, you shouldn't have allowed four runs. You should have allowed two. Two of those runs are unearned. But because you're hitting the ball over the fence, you kind of overlook that. Like the same way you mentioned yesterday, Jeff, that that's such a winnable game. And yes, we would still harp on the Kopech issue and some of the other stuff. But if a couple of your bombers hit bombs and you end up winning that game 8-6, at the very least, you got the W. Like it's in some ways, I'm not saying it makes it all good and fine. But there is a deodorizing effect able to hit home runs.
Yeah, that's the talking point. That look at them, they rallied after falling behind in non-ideal situations.
Right.
I played them at plus 530. I texted you guys.
Yeah.
I go, hey, for anyone interested, they're plus 530.
When they were
the
down
4-0
at that.
Yeah, second inning. Like I know Danny Lynch hasn't allowed a lot to the White Sox this year, but...
Not our Danny Lynch.
No. Yeah, Daniel Lynch. Yeah. You know, like... but I sort of liked them in the spot. And then they started. They should have scored eight yesterday.
Yeah, they could have blown the doors off of that Royals team.
They had so many bases loaded opportunities, double play, three double plays they hit into. They walked a ton. They haven't walked all year. But I want to say they had seven or eight walks.
Yeah.
They had like 10 hits or so.
And four runs.
And then the manager doesn't do any favors. He's talking. And then he's getting aggressive in the post game. What he's doing in the post game. I want to play that for you, and I want to respond to people who say you guys are over the top with the Tony La Russa pointing the finger or being him making a scapegoat. Also, do you like what the Bears are doing? I've got some people in my timeline who are saying that they're not happy with the Bears playing their guys. I think this is what this young team needs.
We got to buy those folks some dogs. If you're scared, we need to get you a dog.
One of the hot dogs and a beer or a real dog?
A real dog.
312-332-3776. And Courtney Cronin on the Bears joins us at 3.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Missed talking to you yesterday. We had such a long Sox game, and we rolled right into Bleck and Abdallah.
It's another one of those long games. The Chicago Fun Suckers took quite some time to get the game finished. The Chicago Fun Suckers. They've sucked the fun out of baseball recently.
Through the hot dog straw, too?
No, not that, that one either. No.
Everyone's talking about hot dog straw.
Yeah, that was just a big scam, wasn't it?
It was fixed. That's what I've read on the internet. That this was a content created.
Hey,
this wasn't some random dude.
That is the epitome of 2022, I believe.
It's like most of what you see
is fake stuff, right?
Like there are a lot of these prank videos that go around that aren't really pranks. Everyone's in on them these days.
Yeah.
We can talk more about that.
That one felt like a social media scam. Just kind of a...
Everyone was talking about it. When you eat a hot dog, what are you washing it down with?
Well, it depends what, I mean, it could be
anything. If you're in a baseball game and you're eating a hot dog.
Maybe.
So I don't know why everyone is so turned off, if it was real, that's not my choice of the way to consume a beer, but you wash your hot dog down with some beer. Beer and hot dogs go together all the time.
Yeah.
How is that? Like, people are like, that's disgusting. What do you mean? You're taking a bite out of a hot dog, and then you are washing it down with beer.
Yeah. There are some people that get really itchy and scratchy about mixing their foods. Like, you can't put them together. And knowing that ultimately, it all goes to the same place. But there are times also when you have a little bit of a hot dog and beer in your mouth at the same time anyway.
Of course you do.
So, yeah. I mean... Yeah, it's, people are weird. People are weird and they crave attention.
There's something for Good, Bad, Dirty that I saw that was way more disgusting than the hot dog guzzling beer guy or the hot dog sucker.
Excuse me?
He was a hot dog sucker, right? Wasn't he sucking on his hot dog?
I don't think he was.
To get to the liquid?
No, more like sucking through his hot dog.
He was using like a straw.
Using it as a straw.
I know, right. Yeah. I know.
However you want to define it, you define it that way.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get to that in the Good, the Bad, the Dirty. Here's Tony La Russa from yesterday.
I say we ignore it because that's what the guy wanted. He wanted attention, and you're giving him more attention.
Everyone's talking about it today.
Don't be a leader, or a follower. Be a leader.
Okay, so is it off limits now?
It's off limits for the end of the show.
I think Big Cat was into it.
Okay, until we talk to Big Cat at 4, and then any other time, it's off the table.
I think the question to La Russa with this answer was simply like, when you had to take Kopech out, you know, you have to, your bullpen is faced with a really hard task. It was one of those softball questions that La Russa was thrown, and this was his answer.
It's a frustrating loss. We were down 4-0. We came back to tie it. It's the same club. You know, we lost 6-4. So you want to say we're lousy? Say we're lousy. We came back 4-0. But with the frustrating part, we had, 10, 11 hits. You know, we had some chances for one hit to break open the inning. You know, Andros came through a couple of times. We had good hitters, and we just left a lot of guys on base. So, a very frustrating loss.
He got very aggressive, didn't he? You want to say we're lousy? Say we're lousy. No one was saying anything. They've been lousy, no one was saying they're...
This has been a massive underachievement this year. I don't know if lousy would be the adjective. Is that an adjective? I'm trying to think of what the perfect word would be for who they've been this year.
So you want to say we're lousy? Say we're lousy.
I wouldn't necessarily go there because there have been, you know, Cease has been brilliant. Johnny Cueto has been a godsend. Liam Hendricks has been fantastic. I think Abreu, although he's not hitting home runs, leads, you know, is he top 2 or 3 in the league in batting average? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been a massive underachievement based on the expectation.
A lot of people think they're unlikable.
Well, they're fun suckers. They have sucked. Seriously, if you're a White Sox fan, Meller, you're a diehard White Sox fan.
Supposed to be it.
Have they sucked the fun out of the season for you so far?
Yes, absolutely. Long ago, they have sucked the life and fun out of the season for me.
I mean, it's. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. Like you said, there's hustle problems. There's base running mistakes.
When you tell your fans, imagine putting that on the board. You know, the change the game mottos, the good guys wear black, the kids can play, all the cool mottos they've come up with throughout the years. Imagine putting up 5 out of our 9 guys are told not to hustle. Think about that.
We don't hustle.
All right.
We're not asked to.
I think that's a new catchphrase. You want to say we're lousy? Say we're lousy.
Say we're lousy. And then people come, Sylvie, you're making him into a scapegoat. They're all of them have problems. When you make the unconventional move of hiring a guy who hasn't managed for 10 years and is way above the average age of a manager, you better make sure it works out because you have shined the spotlight on your own move. When you hire the guy who hasn't managed in 10 years and then he doesn't know the rule book and he's walking guys multiple times on 1-2 and then he's not taking guys out and there are all these issues.
At no point have we ever suggested to anybody listening or watching that Tony La Russa is the biggest reason why this team is underachieved. And if that's the route you want to go, you're just not listening.
Not listening.
We have all said that the majority of their issues, the percentage, as we divided it up with Carmen and Yurko, the majority of it lies with the players not playing to their back of their baseball cards collectively. But there are other conversations you can have. Guys haven't done their jobs.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Have they sucked the fun out of your 2022 baseball season? One that you've been waiting for because you thought this was going to be prime window open time.
The Bears did that a couple years ago. They were fun suckers, too.
19?
Yes. Yeah. Bunch of fun sucking football players.
2007, yes. They were like that, coming off the Super Bowl. Courtney Cronin is going to join us coming up next. There was a nice development today at Bears camp. And did Ryan Poles handle the Roquan Smith situation as well as any general manager could have? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Hey, it's me again. Just how fast is Xfinity Internet with supersonic Wi-Fi, you ask? Well, it's really fast, like beyond gig speed fast. It has three times the bandwidth and the power to connect hundreds of devices all at once. That way your whole family can game, stream, or work all at the same time. That, my friends, is power. Unbeatable internet from Xfinity, made to do anything so you can do anything. Get the Xfinity Supersonic Bundle with unlimited gig speed internet, Wi-Fi equipment included, and a free 4K streaming box. All for just $50 a month with a 2-year interest rate guarantee and no annual contract when you add Xfinity Mobile at regular rates. Go to Xfinity.com/gig. Call them at 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with a stored bank account. New gigabit extra internet customers only, he said. Taxes and fees are extra and subject to change. Xfinity Mobile requires post-pay Xfinity internet after 24 months. Regular rates apply. Requires compatible Xfinity gateway.